Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views. If you want to call in, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. William Grigg ordinarily is with us at this hour every Friday, but he's under the weather, wasn't able to be with us, just called me a couple of hours ago, and so do we. I just hope he's going to be feeling better and get back in good health, because he's certainly one of the most articulate spokesmen we have for the conservative cause. So this evening, I thought, until you call in, I would talk to you about creative destruction. Now, if you read the book written by Alan Greenspan, and Alan Greenspan's a very important figure in everything going on. Alan Greenspan's a member of the Trilateral Commission, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a member of the Bilderbergers, because he may not be in the current Trilateral Commission list, but he was there for a long period of time. For 18 years, he was the chairman of the Federal Reserve System. He engineered the stock market bubble that burst in 2000. He engineered the housing bubble that burst in 2007. And he engineered the third bubble, that is the derivative bubble, that is going to bring down Western civilization. That is the derivative bubble. Most people really don't understand derivatives, but they're insurance policies that are written on bets. They're written on any sort of a thing, but they're insurance policies with no reserves. In other words, you write an insurance policy and you promise to compensate somebody for a figure, but you don't have any money in the bank to cover it, but you write it anyway, pledging the assets of your company in case this turns against you. Now, basically, the derivative contracts outstanding in the world today are between $600 and $700 trillion. How much is $1 trillion? Well, the gross domestic product of the United States is $14 trillion a year. The gross domestic product, and that is the sum of all the sales and all the production and all the pensions and everything that's paid in every country throughout the entire world per year, is $60 trillion. The derivative bubble, which is just beginning to implode now, is for $600 to $700 trillion. And when the derivative bubble comes down, the whole financial structure of the world will come down, and that is the way it's planned. Alan Greenspan did everything he could when he was chairman of the Federal Reserve System to block efforts to control derivatives. Many people saw this coming. They knew it would destroy our economic system. And, of course, Alan Greenspan orchestrated this whole derivative bubble, which is just beginning, of course, to collapse now. But Alan Greenspan, if you read his book, The Age of Turbulence, will tell you that he regularly, of course, socialized with David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger and the other people who really make up this little elite clique cabal that rules the world. In fact, if you haven't read David Rockefeller's book, you really need to get it, Memoirs, we do carry it. On page 405, David Rockefeller says, you know, there are many people who think that I and my family are part of a secret cabal that is really working against the best interests of the United States, that is certainly working with other people, conspiring with other people throughout the world to bring about a new international order. If that is the charge, I am guilty, and I'm proud of it. In other words, he admits that he's part of a secret cabal that's working against the best interests of the United States. And if he's accused of that, he's proud of it. He's part of this group to bring about this new international order. Well, certainly Alan Greenspan is very, very close to David Rockefeller. And as I say, if you read Alan Greenspan's book, The Age of Turbulence, he will tell you that he and David Rockefeller socialize regularly. So you have to realize that when Alan Greenspan writes, he is going to be expressing a great deal of what the ruling elite of our country feel. If you read his book, The Age of Turbulence, that's Alan Greenspan's book, he talks repeatedly about creative destruction. And I remember reading the book and sort of scratching my head and saying, what's creative destruction? I mean, that doesn't make sense. I mean, creative destruction, that's an oxymoron. That's a paradoxical statement. But he used this phrase not once, but a number of times. And he used this same phrase when he was testifying before Congress. But you must understand that Alan Greenspan would testify before Congress in such obtuse terms that you couldn't figure out what he was saying. And one time he made a comment, if you hear my testimony before Congress and you think you understand it, you're obviously wrong. Because everything he said was designed to conceal the truth. But he was very, very clever, very, 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 very brilliant in the means by which he would conceal the truth from the people who were asking him questions. So basically, at one point, he was testifying before the Senate Banking Committee on July 21st, 2005, and one of the senators asked him to define the term creative destruction. And this is what Alan Greenspan said. We in this country have embraced globalization over the decades very much to our benefit. The world trading system has expanded dramatically. World standards of living have expanded dramatically, and it is we in the United States who have benefited the most. We recognize, however, that the very nature of globalization, which creates ever higher standards of living, also is a process which we call creative destruction. The problem with creative destruction is that it is destruction, and there's a very considerable amount of turmoil that goes on in the process. As I've mentioned here many times, we hire and essentially let go 1 million workers a week in this country. It's a huge churning turnover. And I think what we must focus on is this. As we gain the benefits of globalization, it's important that we address the problems that those who are on the destruction side of the globalization problem are. It's a minority of the people, but it's a large enough minority that we have to address the fact that they are in serious trouble on occasion. And Senator Bennett commented, well, what if you're a number of the minority? It's not a small problem. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'll be glad to take your calls. But I was explaining this concept of creative destruction, which is the key to understanding everything going on in the world today. And that's a pretty big statement, but it really is true. And I simply was quoting from what Alan Greenspan said when he was testifying before the Senate back on the 21st of July, 2005. And let me repeat, because most people, if you've heard this before, you would benefit from hearing again. Here's Alan Greenspan talking back in 2005, explaining this term that he uses over and over again in testimony, a term he uses over and over again in his writings and in his book, The Age of Turbulence. And this is what he said. We in this country have embraced globalization over the decades very much to our benefit. The world trading system has expanded dramatically. World standards of living have expanded dramatically, and it is we in the United States who have benefited the most. We recognize, however, that the very nature of globalization, which creates ever higher standards of living, also is a process we call creative destruction. And I would just comment, globalization and creative destruction are synonymous terms. Now, I'll go back to quoting Alan Greenspan. And he goes on to say, the problem with creative destruction is that it is destruction. And there's a very considerable amount of turmoil that goes on in the process. As I've mentioned here many times, we hire and essentially let go 1 million workers a week in this country. It's a huge churning turnover. And I think we must focus on it is that we gain the benefits of globalization, but it's important that we address the problems that those who are on the destruction side of the globalization problem are. It's a minority of the people, but it's large enough minority that we have to address the fact that they are in serious trouble on occasion. And that's the end of the quotation. But Alan Greenspan is talking about the people who are losing their jobs, and of course they're in trouble. So basically, what are we talking about? What is creative destruction? Creative destruction is the destruction of the old existing economic order and the creation of a new economic order. The destruction of the old economic order, the creation of a new economic order, and basically what this is this long-sought-after novo ordo seclorum. It's the society that's described on the back of the dollar bill. The real goal of the people in the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers, and that is a world order under their control. Well, what is globalism then? Well, globalism is the reduction and removal of trade barriers to facilitate the flow of goods, capital, services, and labor. Let me repeat that. Globalism, which is the policy of both political parties and is being carried out today, is the reduction and the removal of trade barriers to facilitate the flow of goods, capital, services, and labor. And, of course, basically the whole idea is to transform society and, of course, to produce world production. Now, basically, to understand what is going on, you have to understand that they have been working for a long period of time to transform our society. And how are they doing it? Well, basically what they've done is they have removed the tariff barriers so that we can flood America with cheap goods from other countries. They have actually encouraged the setting of our production overseas. They call that offshoring. They have encouraged the outsourcing of American jobs, sending our American jobs overseas. They've encouraged the hiring of legal immigrants from other countries with H-1B visas to come in here and drive our wage level down. And they've actively encouraged the influx and certainly the hiring of illegal immigrants here in the United States. But they can't tell the American people that. They're supposed to believe that these things are just happening by accident. Well, the first thing, of course, is that the American government has either reduced or removed the tariffs on foreign inputs coming into this country so they could flood this country with cheap goods, and certainly people would rather buy a cheap shirt from made in Thailand than an expensive shirt made in the United States that costs 3 or 4 times as much. And by so doing, they've simply destroyed a great deal of industry here in the United States, and our jobs simply have been lost here. Then they have actually set up a situation where other countries are allowed to discriminate against American products. And when we, of course, try to send our goods overseas, why, of course, they will come up with one means or another to discourage their entry in their country. They will actually have a value-added tax, and when they produce something in another country, why the value-added tax is there, but when that product is exported, why they refund the value-added tax, and that lowers the price of their goods when they come to the United States so they can be sold here cheaply. But when our goods go into the other countries overseas, why they add the value-added tax onto the cost of our products, which drives the cost of American products up and makes them less competitive. They do the same thing with all sorts of other techniques to make our goods more expensive. Actually, in South Korea, for instance, if you buy American cars, you buy American goods, you're going to get audited by the government. This is how they discourage people buying American goods. So we do everything we can to encourage other countries to produce their products and send them into the United States. And then we do everything we can to make it very difficult for our products to be competitive in world markets. And as a result, why, of course, we've sent $6 trillion overseas. $6 trillion of our wealth has gone to other overseas because of the unfair trade policies put in place by our government. Then, of course, we actually, with our currency, we've kept the value of our currency up, which means that our goods will cost more on the world market. Other countries are allowed to reduce the cost of their currency or peg it to the American dollar, which, of course, makes their goods more competitive and makes them cheaper. And so we've done everything we could to give trade advantages to other countries. Then, of course, they've had this program basically about of offshoring American production. And this really is amazing to see how they carry this out. And basically what they have done is they've actually encouraged people, corporations, to shift their products offshore, basically because of the availability of cheap labor in other countries. You can hire a laborer in China for $1 a day, maybe $1.50 a day. And you don't have to pay them any pensions or health benefits and no FICA, that's Social Security or other benefits of that sort, Medicare benefits. So certainly it's very inexpensive to produce overseas. And then, of course, when you go overseas, you don't have any union bosses or bureaucrats or other people harassing you, so it's much easier to produce overseas. Then, of course, electricity. As you notice how the price of electricity is going up here in the United States, and this isn't happening by accident. It is being done intentionally to drive our manufacturing overseas, because if you have a manufacturing that is electricity or power intensive, why you can't afford to produce here, and many of our aluminum and other plants have moved overseas because they can get cheap electricity. But one of the biggest incentives to American products being produced overseas is special corporate taxes. And if you are a corporation and you produce in the United States, you pay a 35% corporate tax in the United States. If you move your products and production to China, you don't pay any corporate taxes. Now, you get what you subsidize. That's an old adage as far as taxation is concerned. And if you want people to move their products overseas and their production overseas and their jobs overseas and take the jobs out of America, well, you tell the corporation, we're not going to tax you if you move overseas. And that's exactly what it's done. It's been done to certainly encourage corporations to move overseas. And lastly, of course, there was the availability of cheap loans. If you moved overseas, you could get cheap loans from one or another government agency, the International Monetary Fund or the Asian Development Bank or something other. Everything was done to encourage people, corporations, to move overseas. And then, of course, they got guarantees if you went overseas and for one reason or another, factory was nationalized or seized by the government. Why, our government guaranteed that you'd get your money back. You'd get double your money back, I was told by a congressman. They got rid of him very shortly after he was on my program. But you might even get back 3 times the amount of money you invested in that plant if you were forced to have it seized by the foreign governments. And it was guaranteed by the American taxpayers. So everything was done to encourage corporations to move overseas. People don't understand that this is part of the process of globalization. And then, of course, they basically encourage American corporations to outsource their jobs. Now, offshore manufacturing, outsource jobs, and certainly you could send your telephone answering services overseas. You can get your architecture done by excellent architecture in China or India. You can get your clerical work done overseas. You can get your business development plans laid out. They can do electronic and other types of research, and you can do forensic work. You can do legal research overseas. You can get your engineering. Everything can be done overseas, and everything has been done to encourage American corporations to outsource their jobs to send them overseas. What does that do? It transfers American wealth to other nations. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We have 25 million Americans today who are either unemployed, underemployed, or have given up looking for work. And much of this is directly related to this program of creative destruction, destroying the old economic order and creating a new economic order. We call it globalization. But the average American is never to understand that these things aren't happening by accident, but part of a truly diabolical plan. We'll be right back. Give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and basically then, of course, we've talked about the things that they're doing to encourage globalization, how we have removed the tariffs, point number one, and then, of course, we give other countries advantages of all sorts as far as the price of their goods to make American goods less competitive on the world market, to make other countries' products much more competitive and cheaper on the world market. And then, of course, we've offshored production. We've outsourced jobs. And then, of course, we've encouraged, of course, the hiring of people here coming into this country, illegal immigrants with H-1B visas. Of course, they're not supposed to be given to, if there's some American who could take the job, but they totally ignore the law. The law was, of course, only, of course, to allow people to come in if we couldn't find anybody to take the job here in the United States, but that is not the case. The real reason for bringing in people, foreign workers with these H-1B visas, is they come from China, they come from India, they come from Malaysia, and these are well-trained people who high-quality people, and they'll work for far less. The whole idea is to drive down the wage structure here in the United States and drive down, then, the standards of living in this country, but they cannot tell the American people that. And then, finally, of course, there is the program of bringing in illegal immigrants. And what's so very difficult for most people to believe is that we've actually, of course, encouraged the entry and then, of course, the hiring of illegal immigrants in this country, and they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know what they're doing. Now, how did they get to encourage illegal immigration? Well, first of all, why we signed the NAFTA agreement, say, with Mexico, and basically, of course, then we could ship massive amounts of corn, which we subsidize in this country. We could ship it into Mexico, and by so shipping subsidized corn in Mexico, why we bankrupted the Mexican farmers. These are people who worked on the farms, who made their a living by growing corn. And now, of course, they can buy American corn at half the price. And so these people have absolutely no means of making a living. And what are they going to do? No jobs in Mexico. And so, well, they're going to come to America because there are jobs here and because everything is done to encourage them to come into this country. First of all, of course, if you come into the United States, why, of course, you know that if you can get across the border, why, you can go to work. And there would be no effort in most instances to determine whether you're here legally or illegally. You go to work for many of the major corporations, certainly the meatpacking, other corporations, will welcome these illegal immigrants. And, of course, they were helped to get Social Security cards and other fraudulent identification, fraudulent driver's license. That was certainly allowed. And so they could come in here with certainly fraudulent identification. They could get jobs, and they could make good money. Now, of course, the government knows who these people are because they have to have a Social Security number. And they know if they're using either a fraudulent Social Security number or somebody else's Social Security number, and they're actually setting up Social Security accounts for them. You're not being told this, but they worked out an agreement with Mexico so that these people will get their Social Security benefits paid by the American taxpayers when they retire, when they go back to Mexico, or if they go back to Mexico earlier. They'll have that account. They'll be able to draw on their Social Security account. This is being done. They're allowed to get jobs in this country. If they're picked up by police, police are not allowed to determine whether they're here illegally, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're simply talking about this whole process of creative destruction and globalization, which is intent upon destroying the financial infrastructure of our nation, transferring our wealth to other nations, and impoverishing our people. This is what creative destruction is all about. It is all about destruction of the old economic order and the installation of a new economic order. But they cannot tell you that the people who control our nation, and that is the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Bilderbergers, really want to lower our living standards and impoverish our people. Now, how could I document that? Well, I read the plan. And you can read the plan, too. Remember, the man who's in charge of this is David Rockefeller, and his nephew, Stephen Rockefeller, wrote the plan out. It's called the Earth Charter. You'll find it up on the Internet, and you can verify what I've said. Simply go to the Earth Charter, and, of course, if you go to point 10A, it calls for the equitable distribution of wealth within nations. That, of course, is basically the socialist or communist scheme. And then equitable distribution of wealth among nations. How do you get equitable distribution of wealth between the United States and Canada? Well, very, very simply, you transfer the wealth of the American people to China, and that's what they're doing today. They've got a growing middle class there. Last year, the Chinese automobile manufacturers manufactured 13 million cars. Here in the United States, we only manufactured a little over 10 million cars. In China, they've manufactured 13 million cars. How do they do that? Because they've got a phenomenally growing middle class, but they can't tell the American people that this is all part of a long-range plan to transfer the wealth of the American people to other nations. And, of course, they do this by all sorts of means, encouraging the people from other countries, illegal immigrants, to come into this country. If they're picked up, of course, they can't be by police. They can't even ask if they're here illegally, at least not until they've come up with a law like they have it down in Arizona, which is why President Obama and everybody in the media is condemning Arizona. Why? Because they're trying to do what's logical and stop people from coming in illegally and take our jobs. But that's part of the plan, ladies and gentlemen, transferring the wealth of the American people overseas and lowering our living standards. But they can't let you common people know that. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we've got Donna calling from New Orleans. Hi, Donna, how are you doing? Donna, Donna, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Have you been to New Orleans?
Beg pardon? Have I been to New Orleans? Sure. I lived New Orleans. Been out there, and I take the trips, gone down to the bayous, and walk up and down Bourbon Street many, many times. It's an exciting place. So, basically, do you have a question or comment for us?
Yes. You said they tried to put an Antichrist in the 20s. Who was that? And who tried to put him in?
I'm sorry, what was that again, Donna?
You said the other night that somebody tried to put an Antichrist in around 1920s.
Oh, that was Krishnamurti, yes. That was, of course, the occult movement in the United States wanted to install the new Christ, the new Messiah, which is Krishnamurti. Unfortunately, of course, for some reason, he changed his mind. Obviously, why of God? God didn't want it to happen at that time, or Lucifer didn't want it. But basically, of course, the Krishnamurti was not presented as the Antichrist. But if you read the writings of the occultists today, as I do, and you can get them in Share magazine, or the other publications put out certainly by the New Age, Benjamin Krim, he will tell you that they're ready to install another Antichrist. They call him Maitreya. And, of course, as you know, of course, all the great religions are waiting for a new world leader. Indians are waiting for Krishna. Buddhists are waiting for Maitreya. The Muslims are waiting for the Imam Mahdi. The Jews are waiting for the Messiah, and we're waiting for the return of Christ. But they, of course, have their own Messiah who's coming, and they call him Maitreya. Anything else you wanted to ask there, Donna?
And what was that disease, Dr. Russell Baylock, that's coming in Mississippi and Louisiana? Because it wasn't clear on my internet when he was saying the disease.
Well, I really didn't get that, you know. But to certainly, the whole country is in real trouble today. There really are people who have a different worldview. They're going to destroy the economy of our nation. I fear they're going to take us into a war with Iran. They're going to create a civil unrest here to justify the implementation of a police state. And you've got to help us get the information out there in New Orleans and all over Louisiana. Tell other people about our program, please, Don, and encourage them to listen.
Yeah, I have.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. And give us a call if you're out there in the audience. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Donna, and she's calling us from New Orleans. Donna, do you have anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
Well, Dr. Laylock said that a lot of those diseases were antibiotic resistant, but does y'all know about vitamin C therapy? Because my husband had E. coli, and he had vitamin C intravenously put in his arm like 100,000. Milligrams at a time, and in 3 days was healed, and he had a fever like of 105.
Well, Donna, the thing is that Dr. Blaylock was talking about, Sydney, the antibiotic-resistant form of tuberculosis, which is a very, very deadly disease. Most forms of tuberculosis will respond to a regular antituberculin therapy, but the tuberculosis won't, and certainly then we have Chagas disease and other diseases that are being brought in by the illegal immigrants that will have an impact upon everyone in this country. Anything else you'd like to suggest or talk about?
Do they have any, what are the other cancer treatments besides the one you discussed last night, Dr. Brzezinski?
You're talking about the treatments for cancer. Yes, there have been other treatments, and they're really, we have a four-tape set on the why do we still have cancer. Just talking about many of the other treatments. There are other treatments that are readily available, that are not expensive, and yet
how
everything...
How well did that Laetril work?
The Laetril worked. It did not work as well as Dr. Brzezinski's treatment, but it was beneficial, and it actually prolonged people's lives. They lived much more comfortably. So a few people really got completely well using the Laetril, but Laetril alone, of course, you really have to work on nutrition, vitamins, and minerals. Of course, Laetril alone would help a few people, but if you change the diet, if you get people onto vitamin D3. Resveratrol is something we have readily available today, and of course IP6 and other things of this sort, but they really can help as far as cancer is concerned. Dr. Blaylock has an excellent book called Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. I would certainly recommend that for you. And of course,
I just read it about a month ago.
Good for you.
Weeks ago.
I will hope you enjoyed it. Hey, we're out of time, Donna. God bless and thanks so very much.
Hey, thank you, Dr.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our telephone number, if you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and certainly we wanted, Chris, to point out the fact that basically there is this program. It is a program to actually transfer the wealth of the American people to other countries, transfer our jobs to other countries, transfer certainly our production to other countries, and then, of course, to import people into this country, the illegal immigrants, and actually the Ford Foundation and another other organization affiliated with the Council on Foreign Relations are financing organizations for illegal immigrants like LULAC and La Raza and Maldave. That's the Mexican-American the legal a foundation, a legal defense foundation, Maldave, understand that these are all funded by these establishment people who are pushing globalization. Now, the World Bank, the World Trade Organization, the International Monetary Fund, the Export-Import Bank, the Asian Development Bank, the major U.S. banks, most major U.S. corporations, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the leaders of both political parties, they all support globalization and creative destruction. Because, of course, they claim it's going to raise living standards in the United States and throughout the world. Well, it is going to raise living standards throughout the world, but it's going to lower living standards in the United States. And, of course, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment on this or any other subject, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So what is really going on today? Well, accurate figures aren't necessarily available, and if you try to find them, how many jobs have actually been lost? But I figure somewhere between 7 and 10 million American jobs were lost before the recession began in December of 2007. We do know that 3 million people lost their jobs because of globalization when George Bush was president. 8.2 million people have lost their jobs since the recession began in December of 2007. The current U2 unemployment rate is 9.7%. Now, that is the people who are getting unemployment benefits. The current U6 unemployment rate, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, is over 17%. And that is the people who are unemployed. People who are underemployed, in other words, they've got a job, but they're making a lot less, or they're having to work two or three jobs to just get by. Or these people who've simply run out of unemployment benefits and stopped looking for work. That is 17% of the population, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But if you take out the birth-death ratio, and remember, these are figures that are created by the government. The old adage is, figures don't lie, but liars can sure figure. But if you take out the birth-death ratio from the U6 figure, you come up with about a 22% unemployment rate. And then, of course, since we have about 130 million jobs here in America, that really means we've got about 25 million Americans who are either unemployed, who are underemployed, or stop looking for work. The benefits of creative destruction and, of course, of globalization. 40 million Americans today are living on food stamps. 8 million families have lost their homes. 25% of the people who have mortgages on their homes today are underwater. In other words, their property is worth less than the mortgage outstanding on the home. The monthly payments on 6 million home mortgages are delinquent. 50% of the commercial loans in the United States are underwater. The U.S. has spent some $6 trillion more on imports than it has been able to export. And as a result of that, of course, we have this tremendous trade imbalance. Foreign nations hold approximately $3.75 trillion in American debt, in other words, American T-bills, agency bonds, and other things. That was as of February of this year. 25% of the major corporations operating in the U.S. are owned by foreign companies. In other words, some of the major food chains, the banks, Westinghouse, British Petroleum, Shell Oil, Chrysler, they're all owned by foreign corporations. The national debt is over $12 trillion, but if you use the figures that David Walker uses, and he, of course, was the former chief of the GAO, David Walker uses the GAAP method of accounting. That's the General Accepted Accounting Principles, GAAP. General Accepted Accounting Principles. David Walker says that the national debt is $50 to $60 trillion, and it can never be repaid. 40 million U.S. manufacturing jobs can be transferred to other nations at the present time, and we're already transferring many of those jobs to other nations. Certainly, we transferred Chrysler to the Fiat. Now, why did we transfer the Chrysler Motor Company to Fiat? Did they put in the high bid? No, they didn't bid at all. We just gave Chrysler to a foreign company. Why? Because they had a Fiat, a member of the Trilateral Commission, and they're all in this together, these little cabals. And Fiat then began to open new plants for Chrysler production, new plants in Mexico and in Italy. And they did open one plant up in Detroit, but then they were going to manufacture motors, but they were going to assemble it, the parts for motors, they're going to assemble them in Mexico. So basically, we're creating new jobs by, of course, but we're creating those jobs in other nations. There are about 14 million white-collar jobs here in the United States that can readily be transferred overseas. The United States produced 10.6 million vehicles in 2009. China produced about 13.5 million vehicles in 2009. If the current level of vehicle production continues, the U.S. will probably produce about 10 to 11 million vehicles this year, and China is going to produce 16 to 18 million vehicles this year. The globalists claim that they've retrained many of the workers who lost their jobs, but that isn't true, and many of those who did get retraining, those jobs then have been simply shipped overseas, and these people are out of work again. And that's why we have 25 million of people without jobs in America. And those jobs aren't coming home, ladies and gentlemen. When the recession ends, if it ever does, those jobs aren't coming home, because the plan is to lower the living standards of the American people. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call, we'd love to talk to you. The globalists claim that, we can't have tariffs in America, and they point to the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act that was passed in 1930, and they claim that caused the Great Depression, and that just isn't true. I mean, the Great Depression came about because the banks, the central banks, working in concert with the other major banks, withdrew money from circulation so people couldn't get loans. In other words, basically, when you have a fiat money system, you can have temporary prosperity by making money readily available. But if you want to contract the economy, why do you make sure that people can't get loans? And that's exactly what they're doing today. The major banks are not lending money. The small banks are actually being paid not to lend money. For the first time in all history, the small banks can deposit their money with the Federal Reserve System and get paid interest. Why do they do that? Well, the Federal Reserve says, oh, we couldn't have all that money out there, it would lead to inflation. But the real reason is they don't want the small banks lending because they want to contract our economy and impoverish our people. But they can't tell the American people what's really going on. At the present time, as we speak tonight, 33 states can't finance their unemployment benefits. About 25 to 30 state governments here in our country are facing bankruptcy. They need something like $3.23 trillion to fund their pension programs, and there's no way they're going to be able to get that amount of money. 25 states are on the verge of bankruptcy. The world GDP, that's gross domestic production, is $60 trillion, but pension funds, insurance companies, and communities hold over $600 trillion in derivative contracts, and many of them will default during the next couple of years. And when that derivative bubble comes down, ladies and gentlemen, the derivative bubble that Alan Greenspan created to facilitate the process of creative destruction, when the derivative bubble bursts, why, just hang on to your hat and your wallet. Although what's in your wallet really won't be worth very much because they're going to destroy the value of our currency, and they're doing this intentionally. Why? Because there's no better way to destroy a nation than, of course, to destroy the value of the currency. Well, 20 years ago, the United States was the leading creditor nation in the world. Today, the United States is the leading debtor nation in the world, and foreign investors are beginning to fear the United States is going to default on its debt. Certainly, we've seen Greece default on its debt. Portugal and Spain and Ireland and certainly Italy are on the verge of defaulting on their debt, and certainly many of our states are going to default on their debt. And, of course, eventually, I believe, the United States will have to default on its debt because there's no way we can pay the massive debts that we have. In fact, already many of the countries like China are beginning to pull their money out of U.S. bonds and U.S. agency bonds, T-bonds and agency bonds, because they fear the United States is going to default on its debt. If you have a question or comment, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, the standard of living is increasing in other nations. Certainly, China's been able to create a middle class. There's a growing middle class in India. Certainly, it's not like the middle class in the United States, but there's growing prosperity in countries throughout the world as they are progressively lowering the living standards of the American people. We are witnessing the benefits of creative destruction today. Well, Sydney, what's going on our economy here in the United States? Our airlines, most of them are losing money. The FDIC has closed 140 American banks. They did that last year. They've already closed over 50 banks so far this year. At the current rate, why, between 200 and 300 American banks have closed this year. Small businesses are closing across America because they can't get loans. And you go into most malls, an awful lot of empty stalls there. Commercial fishing has been restricted. We let the foreign fishing fleets sweep the oceans, but our companies can't do that. The foreign fish is sold here, grown in fish farms, sold all across America, but they've done everything they could to discourage the establishment of fish farms here in America. We have pictures of the U.S. government fish and wildlife people actually killing salmon as they come upstream because they say, well, they're fishery salmon, and they contaminate the pool of wild salmon. So we're just going to kill all the coho salmon coming upstream because, of course, ladies and gentlemen, these are coho salmon. They're going to spawn and have more salmon, but they actively were killing them. Why? Because they want the problems, you must understand. They want to destroy our fishing industry, and they're doing a great job. Dams are being dismantled across America, and that, of course, limits the water for agriculture and human use. It lowers the aquifer. It leads to the brackish water, that is saltwater intrusion. It's going to increase the cost of electricity because it's going to destroy hydroelectric power. It's going to lead to flooding, and that's why they're taking out the dams, because they're going to disrupt the infrastructure of our society, but they can't tell the American people what they're really doing. The cost of electricity is going up, and it's happening on purpose. They block, of course, the environmental movement is instrumental in this, but who funds the environmental movement? Why the corporations affiliated with the Trilateral Commission, with the Bilderbergers, with the Council on Foreign Relations? I'm talking about the big oil companies, and they all are tied in, of course, to this triumphant of evil, in my estimation. They've effectively blocked the building of nuclear power plants in America. We can build nuclear power plants. We can even help to finance, of course, the building or guarantee the building of power plants, nuclear power plants in China. The American East Asian Development Bank guaranteed loans for Westinghouse so they could build 5 nuclear power plants in China. But we can't build nuclear power plants in America. They wasted some $9 billion on the Yucca Mountain storage facilities. Why did they want that? Well, they had to do something with the spent fuel rods. Why don't they reprocess them like everybody else in the world? Well, we can't do that. Why can't we do that? Well, because they won't let us do that. Congress voted to block this, and then sometime later when Congress said, well, all right, you can go ahead and reprocess it. And the companies said, well, but you're going to have to guarantee you won't close us down like you did last time. And Congress wouldn't guarantee, so nobody wants to reprocess to build a plant as they did before and then have it closed by Congress, who said, no, you can't reprocess the nuclear fuel rods in this country. So we don't have any nuclear fuel in this country, and we don't have any nuclear power in this country other than the power plants that were built 30 or more years ago, many of which, of course, will soon be outdated. Certainly, they're doing everything they can to prevent the construction of reservoirs and dams in this country so that we will not have, hydroelectric power. They've blocked the building of fossil fuel generating plants. They have actually stressing the importance of green energy. Well, green energy is so much more costly than other forms of energy. You lose two jobs for every one job you get from green energy. When they say, oh, we're going to create new jobs, yeah, but you're going to lose two or three other jobs when you do that. And, of course, it's all right, of course, to do this because they want to increase the cost of electricity. When you understand that, it all makes sense. They're destroying farming here in the United States. Certainly they've destroyed farming in the Central Valley of California and the fields there, one of the greatest, actually, sources of food, fruits and vegetables in the entire world, has simply been wiped out. That's one reason why we have Sydney and some cities in the Central Valley of California with 38% or 39% unemployment, because they have taken all the water away from the farmers in many areas of the Central Valley, and they're letting it run out in the ocean because they want to preserve a 3-inch smelt. Now, Gilroy one time was the garlic capital of the world, just across the hills from where we live today. Of course, China is the major producer of garlic for the world. They've systematically contaminated our crops. Did you know that 50% of the U.S. soybean crop, 85% of the U.S. corn crop, and 30% of the U.S. Rice crop is contaminated with genetically modified genes, which, of course, creates all sorts of problems, of health problems as far as the people are concerned, and infertility, and certainly other countries, many other countries, will not accept our genetically modified crops. And so what are you going to do with them? Feed them to our animals, and certainly because they become infertile. In fact, when you use these crops two or three generations down the line, there is just no reproduction in most animals that this has been tried in. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, they're intentionally destroying farming in America, and they know what they're doing. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we pointed out they're destroying the beehives, which, of course, is so necessary for agriculture. They're destroying the bees through the pesticides, and, of course, what they're doing is encouraging foreign imports of food. And if you doubt that, certainly when you next time you go to the grocery store, look at your oranges or look at your pears or look at your apples, and what country do they come from? And so many of them, formerly they all came from the United States, and increasingly they're coming from other countries. They're using this whole idea of global warming to alter our way of life, to alter energy consumption, to limit the use of coal and fossil fuels, to restrict the use of cars, to cripple our industry, to destroy or transfer industrial production overseas, to limit fossil fuel production. But it's all right to use fossil fuels over in China and India. It's just the United States when they're going to insist on limiting the use of fossil fuels. Why? Because they want to destroy our industry. And when you understand that, it all makes sense. Home construction's collapsed here. Price of homes has fallen dramatically, and 7 to 8 million Americans have already lost their homes. Industries are closing down across America. Labor unions are losing their membership. Mining has been curtailed, and certainly the newspapers are closing down across America. Magazines, radio stations are closing down. Oil production has been curtailed. The U.S. Postal Service is losing money. Many state and local governments face bankruptcy. The railroads are losing money. The shipping industry is losing money. Trucking firms are losing money. The UPS and FedEx have actually had to cut back on their personnel dramatically, simply to try to survive. They tell us there's a shortage of water. Of course, they've created a shortage of water by destroying our dams, by blocking the use of reservoirs in this country and building reservoirs in this country. They know exactly what they're doing. They're destroying the infrastructure of our society. And if you want the documentation on this, you need to read the Earth Charter, and you need to read something else we have. It was basically a discussion of an interview, of a talk by Dr. Richard Day of the Planned Parenthood back in 1969, where he laid out the program of this group that controls our nation. It's very, very seldom from somebody on the other side comes forward and tells the story. you'll certainly want to hear our 4-tape set on the new orders of the barbarians. Now, basically, then we want to talk a little bit about some of the other things that are going on, but we'll have to do this at another time. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap up tonight's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is the time when I need to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that if you're out there in the listening audience, why, you'll be willing to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And if you're not in a position to do that, we understand many people are hurting the way things are going, but at least please pray for our provision and our protection. To understand what is really taking place, we hope you'll want to get the book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, which gives you a very good overview of what's going on. We still carry those books written so many years ago by John Stormer, None Dare Call It Treason, another excellent book, small, inexpensive, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. And these books will give you an overview of the power structure that rules our nation today. Now, the difficulty with these books is at the time both of these authors wrote the books, they didn't understand the spiritual forces that were going on behind the scenes today. And certainly you end up, Gary Allen, who wrote None Dare Call It Conspiracy, talked about David Rockefeller going over to Russia in the 1960s and visiting Russia when Khrushchev, the leader of Russia, was down at the Black Sea. And, of course, when Khrushchev came back from his vacation, why, he didn't have a job anymore. Here was the man who was the most powerful man in Russia, one of the most powerful men in the world, and David Rockefeller just goes over and Khrushchev's out of a job. He doesn't understand there are spiritual forces, supernatural forces, that are placing people in positions of power today. And you can't understand so much of what's going on today unless you understand that certainly there are levels above David Rockefeller and certainly the Rothschild family, until you understand that the Rockefeller family and the Rothschild family and J.P. Morgan and Andrew Carnegie and Henry Ford and the Mellons and so many of these people of great wealth and the banking families have all been tied directly or indirectly into the occult. And once you understand that, it all begins to make sense. Certainly Stephen Rockefeller, who wrote the Earth Charter, along with Mikhail Gorbachev, who was deeply involved in the occult, at least according to Wayne Peterson's book, Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary People. And you want to get that book. It's on our special research level, going into Gorbachev and his occult foundation. And, of course, the man who wrote the book had that personal relationship with Maitreya, this ethereal figure, a supernatural figure who is being prepared for coming to rule the world. And then, of course, you'd certainly want to get the other material we have going into the supernatural element of what's going on. Certainly, I suggest Manly P. Hall's book of the secret teachings of all ages, because this has been here since the inception of time. And even Dan Brown refers to the Manly P. Hall's books in his writing of the Lost Symbol. Of course, Dan Brown supports this concept and supports these supernatural forces. We warn you against them, but they are there. They're not imaginary. They're real. You can get the material from Radio Liberty you will not get elsewhere. So let me suggest the Earth Charter and the four-tape set and or the transcript on the New Order of the Barbarians, and they will tell you exactly what the other side's doing. They want to destroy this nation, and when you understand that, it all begins to make sense. Now, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com, if you go there, you can see all the items we carry, and we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we carry the Berkey products, and we carry a lot of health products, and many of these we think are very beneficial, products like our prostate support and menopause support and immune support. If you're having difficulty, you know, getting rid of the chronic cough and you've been to the doctor and they don't have much to offer for you, try the immune support. Certainly these are techniques and products that have been, at least in many instances, proved to be very, very beneficial. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. Till Monday, may the Lord be with you.